You, featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mastetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus Family Fun Zone, poetry and storytelling pavilion, interactive dance stage, live art installations, hands-on workshops, and health and wellness pavilion. July 26th on the National Mall. Full details at wblinc.org/DMV Made. See you there. Brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Welcome. This is Joni with a very special show for you today. We have good news for most of the day. We have a special person we're going to be introducing as soon as he connects with our wonderful engineer, Kalia. But let me just tell you, we're going to be starting the show. Well, our good news for the day, we're going to be spending most of the show talking about Power of Community Transformation, celebrating the story of Benning Terrace Public Housing in Southeast D.C., where residents came together to stop the violence and much, much more. We are very happy to have Tyrone Parker and Darius Robinson on with us for the hour, talking about the story and what's going to be happening this weekend. Hopefully, we're going to have a We're excited to welcome Trayon White onto the airwaves. I don't know if he's on yet. Hopefully, our engineer can give him a call if he's not called in yet. So let me just start with welcoming Tyrone and Darius. Tyrone, introduce yourself real quickly, and we'll introduce Darius, and hopefully the engineer will let us know when Trayon is on the phone.
Great. Thank you so much, Tony, for having us on board.
Well, we're very proud to have you on. So tell us, many listeners do know you, some do not. Of course, you have a very proud history working with the Alliance of Concerned Men. You were a co-founder, set it up shortly after your son was killed. But this is a very special story that you included in your book, The Man, the Message, and the Mission. So give us kind of a sentence about what you're going to be talking with us about this morning, and introduce Zarius. Oh, okay. Wait a second. We do have Treyon is waiting on the Zoom. If somebody could please let him in. Let's see. This technology sometimes. Let me see. Treyon, are you there? Unmute yourself.
Good morning, Jonah. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, we're gonna we played some special music for you, but we're happy you could be on with us today. Just briefly, and Tyrone and Mia want to congratulate you. I must say that I was very excited. I'm very aware of the commitment you've had to Ward 8 for many, many, many years, and many of us could feel Marion Barry there with you. last Tuesday, and with all of us. So we want to say congratulations. We look forward to you, to your work in the future on the council. And Tyrone, did you want to jump in? And
hey, congratulations again, young man. And we look forward to you becoming the mayor, you know, in the spirit of the work that you do, man. You know, I heard you. I was out there that day when we when the campaign was launching our voting, and you said that this was your eighth term, you know, running, man. And you've been successful, brother. So God is on your side and the people love you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And all your work. Thank you, Darius. Appreciate it.
And let me just say, too, that we are very proud of the community, because the community, they use their own hearts and minds, because they know you. They've known you for many years, and they voted despite all the negative information that they were receiving. But they went out and voted for you. So we want to give a shout out to the Ward 8 community as well.
his campaign team was extraordinary. I was out there, and I saw the spirit.
I saw you at Union Temple, man. On the front line.
That's right. That's right.
And yeah. I wished I could have been out there, too. So anything you'd like to share, Treyon, but just know that you are always welcome here, and we look forward to having you on again and maybe having a longer conversation. One thing I would love to do is have a whole team of Ward 8 advocates for you on for a whole hour with you, talking about why they have always they support you.
Yes. Thank you, Joni. I want to thank you guys, Mr. Parker, Mr. Robinson, and the whole WPFW family for continuously giving a voice to those who don't have access to a venue to get their word out and get their conversation out. I think you all are great assets to the community on various levels. I want to thank the community for voting for me, even those who didn't, those who participated. I think it's important that you get a chance to come out and vote, you know, exercise your democratic right. Even those candidates who ran, it's not easy putting your life on the line to life on hold to represent people in your community to advocate and fight for equity and inclusion in a $20 billion budget. I apologize. I won't be able to stay long on this morning. We are doing a search this morning for Mr. Frankie Jones, and I was in the Blue Plains area, so I had to shoot back to the house to do this interview. He's a 72-year-old man who is from the Wingate community who is missing. He also has Alzheimer's. He's been missing for quite some time, and we're doing a search for him today. And so that's why you see me like this. I'm running around helping a family, doing some canvassing in the woods with Park Police, MPD, and the family today. Nonetheless, I'm excited. I think there's still some work for me to do in the ward. I started off by trying to build more recreation opportunities for residents east of Anacostia River, especially for our young people. We've been successful doing that. We've did 1.5, meaning one is still under construction in Anacostia. We have 3 more we're building here in Ward 8. We're also working on building a senior wellness center that our seniors have somewhere to go to fellowship, have fun, engage each other, and live normal lives like the rest of us. We got to show them what they value. We was historically living in a food desert here in Ward 8, so I worked to get money in the budget some 3-4 years ago, and we opened up 2 new grocery options. We have 2 more coming down the pipe, which is Dreaming Out Loud on Marionberry Avenue.
Yes.
Also the Fresh Food Factory at Sycamore Oak, where we have another 13 black-owned businesses there on Martin Luther King Avenue, Alabama Avenue. So we've been intentional about doing different things to not just talk about, you know, living here, but thriving here. And we also talk about business ownership and home ownership. I'm a little concerned about the rental act that went out, that came through Mayor Bowser, through Councilman Robert White. I think we have to do more to ensure equitable housing when it comes to affordable housing and deeper level affordable housing here in the district. So I have some thoughts and amendments that I want to write legislatively to ensure that we can incentivize properties, especially for our seniors who are on fixed income, and the price of living in D.C. is not going down. And we want to make sure they won't get priced out of this area. So we still keep honing in on public safety. I want to do year-round job training and job placement for our youth and young adults in the city. I don't think we have done enough around that. And also mentoring. I got to where I am today, you know, Mr. Parker, by people like yourself and other people who have come along and gave me a bridge and gave me new vision and a way out, who believed and pushed me to maximize my potential. I don't think we do enough of that in the city. So I'm honing in on that. I know some of the hot topics interviews have been at RFK Stadium, you know, but I think that the traffic tickets in D.C. is too damn high. We have some of the highest traffic fines in the country. I think third highest, which you may get a $100 ticket in D.C. That same ticket in Maryland is $25 to $35. And so we have to make sure the system is working all around to achieve its needed goals. I don't think we have done that. So there's some things I would like to do, especially with the Dream Grant for businesses. The CIF Community Investment Fund we put together to empower local businesses in the ward, also Ward 7 too. It's East Anacostia grant. You know, some of Ward 7 or some of Ward 8 is also West Anacostia, so we want to include those areas as well. But you know, Joni, the work is still unfinished. I don't want to go on too long, but if you got any questions or comments for me, I want to thank the people of the great Ward 8 that came out and voted for me. We're doing a unity kickball game August the 2nd. 12 noon at the Lockridge Field, William O'Neill Lockridge Foundation Field on Mississippi and Willow Rose. We ask people to come out, want the other candidates to come out, those working those teams to come out, want to do a unity kickball game coming up. And we're also going to do a breakfast with the Ward 8 Democrats for the ward and everyone who want to come out. So, yep.
Well, again, we are very, very proud of you. One quick question, and we also have a young man, Darius, if he wanted to quickly say something. But I wanted to ask you, Treon, I hope you, one of our big new, I'm going to call it new crises, is with Medicaid. The mayor's new budget is proposing horrific and very frightening cuts to Medicaid. We're going to spend a few minutes at the end of the show talking about that. But hopefully the council can come together, the community come together to demand that this will cost lives if these cuts go through. So if you want to comment.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we have to put our thoughts and ideas together. And quite frankly, my team and I will be looking at a way to get a new revenue stream coming into the district. We got to figure out how to increase taxes or create a revenue stream to fill that gap. That's people's lives on the line. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who don't have the money to pay for their own insurances. I even seen that those residents who do pay for insurances, their premiums will be higher based on the new mandates of the federal government. So those who are on Medicaid, Medicare, we want to ensure that we keep them there. D.C. has done a phenomenal job. I think we had 97% percentile of those who have insurance, but we have to fit that bill and ensure that we don't lose those residents to, you know, not having the ability to get care. And I think that
yes, we're here.
I think that we have to create a new revenue stream to fill that gap. We have to be creative. We have to be innovative in doing that. And I look forward to working with my colleagues trying to figure out a solution. We know the problem. We want to spend a lot of time talking about the problem. We want to spend a lot of time finding a solution. Joni, thank you.
Absolutely. Darius, if you had something real quick, because Tyrone's on a roll here, he needs to leave. But we know that the young people are supporting you as well as are the older people. And again, many people are very proud of you. And we can also feel the ancestor spirit of Marion Barry continues to be proud of you, Treon White. So best of everything to you. And we support you.
100%. And congratulations again, Treon. Treon got a lot on his shoulders, and you can hear from the many subjects that he's able to talk about, the depth of I know that he's always been a part of helping the returning citizens in regards to jobs and opportunities.
We're going to introduce Darius a little more in a minute. But Darius, you have any words to say to Trayon before he leaves us for today?
Right. Well, Trayon, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
You understand? Just your energy, your power, your motivation, you know, kind of remind me how I was when I was your age. I'm from D.C., born and raised Southeast. You understand?
Right.
And, you know, all my people follow you. You know, everybody tells me about you. So we definitely got to link up. I'll be up there on the 26th. You know, at First Rock Baptist Church, we rejuvenating what we had done back in 97, when we brought the murder rate down to zero around Ben and Terz.
Okay.
You understand? And we want to duplicate that. So I'm going to definitely link up with you, because you're right. We need to talk more about the solution, because we already know what the problems is.
Absolutely, man. Send me that information about the 26th. I'd love to join you all there at First Rock, man.
Okay.
Oh, that'll be great. Okay, Trayon, we giving you a big, huge round of applause and a drum roll.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Right. Thank you. Love you. Y'all be blessed, man.
You too.
Love you too. Okay, the power of the people. The people the power when they come together and do what they know is right. And the people know Trayon for many, many, many years. They see him out in the middle of the night if he's needed to help a family. And much, much more. Are we going to jump in and talk about what Tyrone and Darius are doing this coming Saturday? So, Tyrone, you want to start with introducing Darius to the listeners?
In fact, to a large degree, Trayon introduced them when he made mention of Marion Barry. And this is how Darius actually came into my life in the sense of, when Marion won and came back as the mayor in 1994, the returning citizen population was really part of the fuel behind that election. And once he won, we met with him, and he asked us, what did we want to do? And from that, I told him I wanted to work with you. And upon asking him, could I work with you, he blessed me, and I was able to work well over youth services. Over on South Capitol and M Street. And over at Youth Services, I was Darius' probation officer. I was on parole, but I was Darius' probation officer. And this began the whole relationship of the Ben and Terz story. Because had it not been for Darius playing the part that he was, then there's a good chance that the Ben and Terz story would not have reached the point that it did. And the reason why I say this is that when we went over to Ben and Terz, after 12-year-old Darryl Hall was killed, we said that we had to do something. Didn't know what to do, but we went into that particular community. Found a young lady by the name of Miss Monterey. Eleanor Monterey, really a committed person. We talked with her, reached with her, and she began to walk to the different communities with us. We were able to get one side, the circle, that said, okay, man, after some work, they said, okay, we'll sit down and talk. And this was really a killing field over there. But when we went to the avenue to get the kids said, yeah, okay, we'll meet. And what we done now, what we did, Joni, we basically took the kids, shook them down. They said, okay, we want to wear our bulletproof vests. You can't carry your guns. We took them into downtown, into Bob Woodson's office, and began to talk and negotiate. When the kids from the circle came in and saw the kids on the avenue, they said, those kids live there, but those are not the ones. Important subject. When they looked over and saw the kids on the avenue, they said, they live there, but they're not the ones. 2 days later, Darius Robinson come into my office, because I was his probation officer. Darius said, Mr. Parker, I heard you as though we've been a terrorist. I said, yeah. He said, what you doing? I said, man, we're trying to stop the killing. He said, yeah. I said, do you know anybody over there? He said, yeah, I know everybody over there. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, man, well, what we're trying to do is get some of the guys that know what's going on and kind of making things happen. Do you think you can help me? He said, yeah, I can help you. Darius got, I told him, all we need was five guys from the very where ago. I told him we would pick them up the next night and told them what we was going to do. They had to shake them down. They couldn't bring no guns. Upon us taking those guys in the room and the circle looking across the room at them, they said, those are the ones. Darius was able to bring the real kids that was involved in the violence in there. But it only came by virtue of Darius coming into the equation, me being Darius' probation officer, and I'm on parole, and Marion Barry getting elected. Now, you tell me if that right. ain't God. Right.
Now, let me, I'm going to ask Darius to jump in a minute, but Tyrone, what, we're going to repeat this again by the end of the show, but tell us what is happening on Saturday with regards to this very powerful story of Benning Terrace. What's happening this Saturday?
Yeah, the story is so profound, and it's a community building story where we're going to talk about, you know, the people that really came along and helped to bridge the truth and helped to bridge community. The community safety, public safety. We're going to talk about Miss Monterey, who was a
Tyrone, first tell people the time and the location.
Okay. I'm at Darius. Darius, go ahead. Let me tell
Darius. Darius, welcome.
Yes. How y'all doing today?
Can you just tell us the basics, and then we'll keep jumping into to your role.
Okay. It's July 26th, 4630 Alabama Avenue, 12 p.m. The doors will be opening up at 12 p.m. That's the Tyrone Parker book signing. The man, the mission, and the message. Or the man, the message, the mission. Well, the three M's. Do you understand? So July 26th, 12 p.m., 4630 Alabama Avenue will be at the book signing.
The First Rock Baptist
Church.
First Rock Baptist Church. That's a good way to remember where it is. And it's going to be from 12 noon to 4 p.m., I believe.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of discussion. Darius, you want to tell us anything more about yourself and then continue with the story? This, you know, we hear so many negative stories, and we rarely hear about this outstanding, powerful story that happened. What year was this, Darius?
This was in 97.
97. Okay.
That's when uh-huh. the truth. And like Tyrone said, you know, I was only 16. And I was able to bring, you know, these guys to the table, which was my friends already, you know. But what makes it so profound is that even though I was 16, I was able to lead. You know, I was a leader mm-hmm. at 16, yep. able to lead my friends into you know, a better place, you know. And it's and right now, you know, I'm over 40. Then I was 16 then, so it's been almost 30 years. And dealing and with Tyrone Parker and the Alliance of Concerned Men did, man, it's just profound, because I don't know nowhere else in this in the district where they brought the murder rate down to zero. And yeah. now Simple City was one of the most violent neighborhoods in the district. Mm-hmm. You understand? Police wouldn't even go in that neighborhood. Tyrone and his group and the Alliance of Concerned Men, man, they was walking around the area, and we was talking about these guys keep walking around looking like the police, you understand? And there was times where people was like, man, we don't know these guys, you know, they was even planning on hurting them. Because why are they coming around here? Because it was so much pain, so much frustration going on around there. I mean, you have families around there that's starving, that's hungry, that's caught, that's stuck in this cycle of violence. You understand? Mm-hmm. And it was and I don't take credit for it. You know, I give all credit to God, because if I wouldn't have never went out Virginia to try to steal that car, I wouldn't have never been on Tyrone caseload, and I wouldn't have never knew about him being Fat Rodney's father, giving him that mm-hmm. credibility, you understand, to be able to step into that neighborhood, because we didn't allow anybody to come in. We policed our own neighborhood. You understand? Mm-hmm. Only time the police came in that neighborhood if somebody was dead. And they made sure that they made sure that the person was dead before they got there. They would wait. One of my friends laid on that ground over an hour before the ambulance got there. And he was mm-hmm. still alive. You understand?
So you're listening to Darius Robinson together with Tyrone Parker. Mm-hmm. This is a very powerful story, but it's not just a story. It's not just a story, and it happened in what, 1997? This was taking place. It's much more than a story because there are lessons. If we had a community and a city and a country that was really committed to saving people's lives, they would take the lessons from this powerful community transformation that took place. So maybe Darius and Tyrone, you could spotlight some of those lessons that could be used now. As unfortunately, I'm sorry to say this, but with the terrible things happening in this country, more and more, we're going to need the power of the community to save the community. So maybe you could share some of the lessons of things you did right.
You know, Johnny, we were blessed to be able to do a number of things right. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, we're going to be honoring a program that we call our BAE program, our Benetares Educational Youth Program. And that program is for kids from 8 to 12 years old. We're bringing these kids back to be able to give the award to the individuals that was running the program, the directors. But we had a Kyla March and a Dee Dee that was running the program. They taught the kids how to do hygiene. They took them to school. They took them on trips. They basically went to the school and got their report cards for them. They actually acted to some degree as parents. But these kids to this day here are so excited that they're going to be able to see Miss Marsh, see Dee Dee, and to be able to thank them for the work and the support that they gave. And even Kevin Shepherd, who is now up there, he is a part of Cure the Streets program. So we have some of the kids that have come back to be actually become public safety persons that was involved in our children program. We're seeing a lot of this. We're seeing all it took was individuals to show love and concern and to cultivate it. And they're now taking on the responsibilities of public safety, building their own community. So we're going to bridge those relationships. We're going to acknowledge Darius as well as Petey from two different communities. Petey's up there now doing the same work that he saw us do.
So that's not Petey Green. That's a different Petey, not Petey Green. So again, we're talking to Darius Robinson and Tyrone Parker about the very important history of what they did in Benning Terrace in the late 90s. Power of Community Transformation, as they're going to be sharing on Saturday from 12 noon to 4 p.m. So Darius, if you want to share any other lessons from then or things that we could be doing now in the community.
Well, as of right now, it seems like DC youth is in an uproar. They're crying out for help, you know, and DC has so many programs, so many organizations up there that can help the kids. But for some reason, you know, I don't know if the funds being misused or what. I don't know what's going on. But it's not working. You understand? Mm-hmm. We need, like Tayon was talking about, we need to worry about the solution. Now, we know that these kids need jobs. You know, we know that they need a better education. We know that they need health and education. They need job resources. They need after school programs, community skills, leadership skills, you know, GED training. We know that they need these things. And with the Alliance of Concerned Men, we only dealt with kids that lived in the projects in the low income areas, because those are the kids that needs this help. I mean, we helped all kids. Don't get me wrong, you know. And we also helped adults. We had to get the family to get the child. You understand? Once we get the child, then we get the community. You know, once we get the community, then we can get the nation. You know, but we got to start at these kids, and it's not an easy task, even though it seemed easy when Tyrone came in there. It was even hard for me to step up to the plate because I still had hate and envy in my heart because my friend was murdered. You understand? But I had to get through that. So now that I was able to get through that and see everything that we needed, It's the same thing because it's a 360 cycle. What happened once shall happen again. So with that being said, we definitely want to breathe life back into what happened and show DC. At one point, we was down to zero murders. You know, what happened to that situation? You know, what's going on? Why can't we do that now? And the kids asking for it. The kids are asking for it. They want to do better. They need to do better. You know, they begging us for them to do better just to need help. And sometimes their help can't always come from their home, you know, because my help came outside of my home. You understand? My father could only do a certain point, but my help came outside of my home on that block. So somebody will have to go to that block and help that child. You understand? Mm-hmm. If they're not getting that help at home, somebody got to go to them. You know?
Absolutely. And you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM to Heal DC. This is me, Joni. And we're spending most of the hour with Tyrone Parker and Darius Robinson, two, I'm going to say, heroes in our community that are telling the story of what happened in the way in the late 90s, the victory in this community, but is very relevant today. And I'm sure, Tyrone, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but I believe the mayor has been cutting the budget for and will continue unless people stand up to cut the budget for violence interrupters and other programs. So,
you're absolutely right, Joni. I've been told that Cure the Street is cutting four of their sites that they had, you know, where they're basically reducing the presence of this very important public safety individuals. It's a necessity that we have individuals that's able to reach these kids, able to talk with them, able to help them to navigate through the many challenges that they're confronted with. We've got to reinvest. It should be more resources channeled into these particular communities. But we're talking about downsizing. And when you're talking about downsizing, you can only only expect what will occur. You know, so let us, as Trayon stated, let us become creative and begin to go forward to come with solutions that will make a significant difference in our community. I know, and we got to be able to make something out of nothing to a large degree in the context of touching people, building people, believing in people, because people want to be helped. They want to support, but it's up to us to be able to go into these locations to get them. You know, I'll tell you one interesting thing occurred. I remember when we were up there, and the interesting thing about Benin Terrace, it was considered to be the most dangerous place in the district. But once we were able to negotiate a truce through Benin Terrace, we went all through the city, 640, 70, Lincoln Heights. The concept was there. The people was just waiting, and they're still waiting for individuals that had the commitment to go into these communities. They're not going to come to these offices. Office to talk to. They're not going to go downtown. You got to go into these communities, go where they're at, and be able to show them love and concern. It's got to be a comma and never a period in the contents of reaching our youth and loving them and showing them that. You got to counsel them by walking with your arms on their shoulders.
Yes. And I'm just going to mention, hopefully mention again at the end of the hour, the cuts in this budget proposed by the mayor, and of course it's also being impacted by the money that the so-called president took from the district, $1 billion, but she's making additional cuts. There's going to be a big demonstration next Tuesday, July 29th, in front of the district building, and there's also a call to pack the house of the city council next Wednesday, and hopefully we'll have an announcement about that. But the community needs to stand up to say you cannot make all these cuts in the community. Yep. You just can't do it. We need to save lives, not have a budget that's going to kill people. Darius.
But see, that's how politics are. When you got some good working, you know, then like with the Alliance, when the Alliance brought that murder rate down to zero, they had to cut that out. Because the doctor's not getting paid no more because nobody getting shot. Guns not being sold. police not getting paid because they don't have to police the neighborhood no more. They don't have to lock people up no more. All these people that feed off of us killing each other was no longer getting fed, so they had to cut it. You understand? They had to cut it so that could continue to happen so they could get fed. It's all politics out here. You understand? Yes. They don't really care about us, so we need to have our new government where as though that we don't rely on them to help us. You understand? We had to bring our new government where we don't need their funding. We'll be able to fund our own stuff. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because they will let you down every time. You hear me? Well, they will let you down mm-hmm. every time. So we need to come up with a solution where as though that we can fund our programs ourselves. We need to come up with not a program, but we need to come up with a solution where as though that we could bring that money in ourselves and be able to help our kids, because the government will let you down every time, as you see it's about to happen again.
Okay, and of course, many of us remember the days of Marion Barry where the government did not let us down. Right. When Marion Barry came out of Mississippi and out of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And we still have many positive stories that need to be told about what Marion Barry did. But we that's a lesson that if we come together and demand that we have people who are really committed to the community, I would say, Jairus, it's not just because they want to make their money, but they're actually, I hate to say this, they're committed to a city. I mean, they're trying to gentrify the city. Many of these people feel they would want to make D.C. an all-white, upper-middle-class city. So they're doing what they can to weaken the district, I believe. But let's continue to talk about some of the victories. What you did in the late 90s, it should be really a model for the whole country to follow. The lessons that you have to really reduce the murder rate down to basically.
We came from 484 in the year 1991 to 88 in the year 2012, and we then took an initiative to the mayor of the city at that point in time, asking would he support from 88 to zero. Because we saw that the District of Columbia could be zero. But at that point in time, they were satisfied with what would have accomplished from becoming from the murder capital of the USA to one of the 10 best places in the country to live, with gentrification, large corporations, businesses began to perish. And they did not fund community-based organizations like the Alliance, like East of the River, like these other. For 7 years, we got no funding. They just cut everything off. And that's when the thing began to elevate again. And that's what we're seeing there. But we have the solutions. The solutions is in the past, and we can make a difference. That's why we're going to be over First Rock Baptist Church on Saturday, July the 26th, where we celebrated so many truths there, so many celebrations that came from First Rock Baptist Church. We're going back again to celebrate and say, let's give life back into the community as a whole. We're going to bring the community back. We're going to show the people that we love you, we care about you, and it's the youth that's coming forth this time here.
Wow. That's very exciting in these days of we have so much bad news, but we still have good news to share from the past and a good vision for the future. If people come together, stand up together, and I'm sure you invite people from all over the DMV to come out on Saturday.
Absolutely. In fact, we have several sponsors that's actually purchasing books for the kids. We got East of the River that's going to purchase books. Reverend Isaac of East of the River is going to purchase books. The Black United Front, Bird Lanier is going to purchase books and give to the kids. We got Ben's Chili Bowl that's purchasing and supplying the food, funding the catering, the whole activity. We got community people that's coming together to be able to make a difference for our community. So we're looking for everybody to come and hear this miraculous story about how ordinary people made a transformation for their own good, for their own community, where the children could begin to build, begin to grow, and begin to know what love is about. And this is what this is about. Love.
Because we sure enough took this took it all around the world. Where we go, to Scotland, all the way to Scotland.
And we went a number of places. But as Darius said, this should have been a model for the United States. Anytime you can go into the most dangerous community and be able to transform the people that's there. And we transform the people by having jobs, having opportunities, showing them support. They took ownership on their own community. We had that. They were had to do beautification. They were had to just improve their community. And they invested in it. But you got to have maintenance. You got to have people that's constantly there and to support them for a period of time.
Absolutely.
And they got to walk with us. And that's what the Alliance did. The Alliance walked with us hand in hand. 2, 3, 4 years went by. As you can see, me and Tyrone are still together.
Yes, still
from
together.
The day that we left, we haven't celebrated. And it's been almost 30 years.
Yes, yes.
I ain't that old, but it seemed a long time. But that's 3 generations that Tyrone been there walking with me.
Wow, you know? That's really something. And Tyrone, you want to just briefly mentioned the book, your book that you're going to talk about as well, which covers a lot of territory.
The book is a very rich story about my life, how, you know, basically I started out in a single parent family home and went into the streets and went to jail and, you know, and basically was able to, through God, make a transformation through going to church, learning who I was. From that point there, being able to go around the world talking, spreading the spirit and showing and saying that we, the people, are the difference, that we are the common denominator. And this became demonstrations. I have so many rich stories in regards to when I was part of the ride of the district and when we were part of just building the community up. So this is what this story is going to be about. It's going to be about community building, community strengthening, public safety, and family loving. So come on over and be a part of us.
Yes. And it's a story that we don't hear about enough. And I'm going to say, in a few minutes, we're going to spend about 5 minutes talking about the Medicaid crisis. And if the next speaker could be let into the Zoom, that would be great. But I wanted to say about, I'm having trouble thinking about all these things at once. I know what I was going to say, Tyrone, you talk about it's God, but another thing that helped you out quite a bit in addition to God, I hope you don't mind saying it, is counseling, mental health counseling. And I'm sure that's another thing that is going to be cut. But do you want to just mention the importance of access to mental health counseling?
It's an essential component to be able to have individuals that will understand the many challenges and the trauma that you're going through and that you're encountering and be able to help to navigate that and work with you. Mental health aspect is an essential part of what's happening in our community. To have those type of services available, we have good, competent individuals that's able to work with you, talk with you, and understand the challenges that you've been confronted with.
So okay, Tyrone and Darius, we're going to ask you to hang in there. You're going to have the last word at the end of the show, but we're going to take about 5 minutes to talk about the crisis that we really are not hearing enough about with our healthcare system, our DC healthcare system. We have a big crisis nationally, but we have a even bigger crisis locally, what's happening in the district. And I'd like to welcome Kate Sugarman, who is a physician at Unity Healthcare over on 14th Street. And she's going to talk about something that is going to be happening possibly next week, where the mayor is introducing a new budget which drastically cuts Medicaid or services for particularly the immigrant community is one community that's impacted. So welcome, Kate, and tell our listeners what is happening with the, tell us what the Healthcare Alliance is and what the threat is to particularly immigrant communities. I think it's mostly impacting wards 4, 1, and 5. But welcome, Kate.
Hi, good morning. Yes. So the issue, the current issue is the DC program called DC Healthcare Alliance. It has been in effect for 25 years. And I can tell you, as a Ward 1 doctor who has a large number of immigrant patients, DC Healthcare Alliance works. It is successful. It was started, as a deal when DC General closed down. And so it is the safety net for DC patients who don't qualify for Medicaid. It is the program for low-income folks, immigrant folks, and it works. And what the mayor did in her budget is she completely eliminated DC Healthcare Alliance with no backup plan. So that means that, patients on dialysis, patients with cancer, patients with diabetes, they will lose their insurance, but the DC council can bring it back. So the council takes its final vote a week from today, July 28th, the council takes its final vote.
I thought the final vote was on the 30th.
I was told it's the 28th, but I don't know. Anyway, this week we're in the sprint. So the final vote will be very, very soon. And
it'll be definitely next week.
Our demand for the council is to restore funding for DC Healthcare Alliance for fiscal year 26. Give us 1 year. And if you don't have the money to fund DC Healthcare Alliance, then put in revenue raisers and have, the top, the people in the DC who are the top income bracket, have them, pay their fair share. So if you say that there's no money for Alliance, then put in revenue raisers. We're just asking for 1 year so we can put together a plan. But to abruptly tell a cancer patient, diabetic patient, a pregnant patient, everything has been cut. Pregnancy, prenatal care, everything has been cut. So, restore a funding for DC Healthcare Alliance for fiscal year 26 and put in revenue raisers to fund it. And, we need to get 7 council members on board this week so that basically the idea is I cannot go to my patients and say, I can no longer treat your diabetes. I can no longer treat your cancer. You will go blind from diabetes. Diabetic eye disease is treatable. I cannot go into clinic and tell my patients, you will go blind because the DC government is refusing to continue the funding. So we have to take action this week.
And about how many, do you know how many people would be impacted if this goes through?
There are 27,000 people under this plan. It works. This is a plan that has been working. I work with it every day. It is a successful healthcare program that works. We cannot just cut it off overnight. We can't. I cannot tell my patients you're going to die from cancer, even though your cancer is treatable. I can't do it. That's why I'm spending everything I have this week, every minute I have this week working on it.
And I believe this DC Healthcare Alliance, now that I think back on it, we helped to create it when they closed DC General.
Exactly.
We knew that DC General should not have been closed and it needed another program to save lives. So,
exactly. And it was community pressure. Most politicians don't do things to be nice. It was the community pressure that created DC Healthcare Alliance. And that's the pressure we need to keep it running.
Yes, and we'll also be sharing next Monday the crisis with the general DC Medicaid budget that's also being cut terribly. So we need to come together, and none of us are free until all of us are free. Yes, this impacts the immigrant community, but it's going to impact everyone if we don't stand up and fight.
And it will impact us all. Where are my untreated diabetics? Where are the untreated dialysis patients going to go? They're going to end up in the emergency room. So if I have a heart attack, my emergency room is going to be crowded out by the people who lost their outpatient care. So it affects all of us in that too, that if I come in a car accident, the ER is going to be filled with dialysis patients and, patients who can't get their diabetes medicine.
Yeah. So you do have a couple of, and we only have about 2 minutes left. You do have a couple of council people who have signed on, but there are, of course, a need for other council people. I'm just wondering about Zachary Parker, for example, in Ward 5.
I think he's a hopeful. Mm-hmm. We have strong support. My understanding is we have strong support from council members Nadeau and Janice Edwards. Those are the strong. And we have some maybes. We have to get to seven.
Yes. And of course, folks, so would you encourage, Kate, for listeners who live in the district to contact, what should they do?
They should call their council members and tell them to restore funding for DC Healthcare Alliance for fiscal year 26 and to pay for it with revenue raisers.
And if people wanted more information, what would you
I think DC Jobs with Justice probably is giving the best updates.
So you can go on to their website probably, and hopefully they have the information. Hopefully we'll get more information out to people.
Right. We're having a planning meeting at 1 o'clock today, and hopefully, by 3 o'clock today, we'll have even more updates.
Well, and is that we DC? How can people get those updates, though, is the question.
I would say right now, DC Jobs with Justice, and we're working on it. Okay. This was done so last minute. The mayor's budget was so last minute.
Yes. And two more questions. I think the Legal Aid Society.
Yes. DC Legal Aid has been very helpful.
So that would be a good place to contact. Mm-hmm. And also DC for Democracy with Ed Lazier. They're also doing an outstanding job. But
The Fair Budget Coalition. They've been working on it.
Yes. Okay. Okay, Kate. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. I appreciate the time.
Okay. And we'll see you out there in the streets.
Kate Sugarman. You got it. Yep.
Dedicated physician trying to save lives. And we all have to do what we can to save people's lives.
Jonah, we need to come together.
Yes.
Because the same challenges that Kay is confronted with in the population that she's working with, we're confronted with too. They're talking about cutting resources, talking about cutting services, much needed services.
Absolutely.
And one perspective on that. And the only way, Kay, that we're going to turn this ocean line around is that we come together and move like an army as one.
Totally. 100%.
Right on, Tyrone. And as we know, see, the system is set up to divide everybody. So they have the immigrants divided and they have the low-income folks divided up. But as Tyrone says, we have to come together and we have to figure out how to come together this week and next week. Otherwise, this budget is going to be cut. It's going to be cut drastically. So we're going to see. Maybe we can have an emergency information shared on the radio, but this is all coming very quickly. This is going to be happening next week. So, Darius, you want to say your final?
Okay, Joni, am I good?
Yeah, if you want to say anything more, Kate, but because it's going to be a struggle to bring the communities together. The immigrant, we did a show last week focusing on the immigrant communities in honor of Arturo Griffiths, a recent ancestor, and we need to this day and age, we need to bring these community, everybody together. Yeah. We can't keep working in isolation.
We can't keep doing this.
Well, and a lot of the council members seem very unaware of the implications of cutting DC Healthcare Alliance. So we need to keep raising up to the council members so that we get seven council members to vote in favor of funding DC Alliance fiscal year 26 and funding it by revenue raisers. A lot of them don't even know. So we need to, call their offices, let their phones ring off the hook.
Absolutely.
Kate, come on over with us, Kate. We'll be over at First Rock Baptist Church Saturday. Building people, building spirit. We're one of the same, Kate.
That's right.
So that would be good to have a speaker there. Or I don't know, Kate, if you could, we'll share the information.
Yeah, do that.
But
okay.
We need to come across each other's communities. We cannot keep working in these silos.
Right.
All
right, so Joni, I'm going to get back to my patients. Okay,
thank you, Kate.
All right, thank you so much.
All right,
let's stay in touch.
And Kate is a union member with the physicians.
That's right. I'm a union member. That's right.
We're very proud of the union.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
You.
All right, and we will be in touch.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Great. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay, Tyrone, we have about 1 minute. Let me just say that stay tuned for the next show at the 11 o'clock hour with Mark Thompson, Make It Plain. And of course, stay tuned for the rest of the shows today. You can hear Dr. Watkins at 2, Ambrose Lane at 5, and much, much more. So Tyrone, you're 1 minute, or no, we're just about out of time. So
The man, the message, and the mission. You can get that 26th. Book from Amazon and come on over to First Rock Baptist Church. Go ahead, Darius.
July 26th, 12 p.m., 4630 Alabama Avenue Southeast. Books to the block. You hear me? It's time to remember, show love, and understand that peace can and will happen. You That's understand? Right. And the American dream is just a hug away.
Come on. Thank you, Darius. And we'd like to thank our great engineer, Kalia Chapman. And we're going to go in with a song, out with a song that Tyrone has selected, Frankie Beverly, We Are One. Fight the power.
WPFW listeners, summertime is here. Words, Beats, and Life has the event for your family and friends this season. The second annual DMV Made Festival is happening Saturday, July 26th on the National Mall, a one-day celebration of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region, promoting the intersections of arts and culture, plus health and wellness. With live music by Go-Go Legends, EU, featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mastetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus Family Fun Zone, Poetry and Storytelling Pavilion, Interactive Dance Stage, Live Art Installations, Hands-On Workshops, and Health and Wellness Pavilion. July 26th on the National Mall. Full details at wblinc.org/DMVMade. See you there. Brought to you by Words, Beats, and Life with support from WPFW.
The Birchmere presents Hubert Laws, July 20th. Hiroshima, July 24th. Sheila E., July 30th. And Switch, August 10th. Details at birchmere.com.
African Diaspora International Film Festival, Africa World Now Project, and GWU Africana Studies Program present the 18th Annual African Diaspora International Film Festival DC, August 1st to the 3rd, featuring a film on Walter Rodney, films on Black musical traditions, and more. Receptions and Q&As, ADIFFDC, from August 1st to the 3rd at the GWU Student Center. Tickets and schedule at nyadiff.org or at 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black Life Matters. WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
From August 3rd through the 16th, during our summer pledge drive, we present WPFW, 48 years of centering blackness. We'll commemorate Black August and celebrate not only the freedom fighters, political prisoners, and those who have perished in the struggle for Black liberation, but also the scholars, musicians, and poets whose work has served the Black liberation struggle. There are forces working to erase the contributions and significance of Black people. Your contribution ensures that WPFW is not erased and that the voices of Black people throughout the diaspora continue to be platformed here. Donations can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, Building a Better World,